So let's read on now. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I'm reading Numbers 35, verse 9. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, that is your land of possession, the promised land, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. And there shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall you have for refuge. You shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall you give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. Praise the Lord. And you are to remain in that city, not to come out. Verse 26. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, which he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. Now, I'm using that to cause us to understand what the blood of Jesus Christ is. Here in Israel, God gave that law. And remember that the law, Old Testament, is a shadow of this grace, New Testament. Everything you see there is speaking of a fulfillment in Christ and his church. Hallelujah. And then he said that when you get to your land of promise, you are to create a place of refuge, because according to the law, a tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. If you kill, you will also be killed. If you kill my relation, I will avenge the death of my relation. But there are some that you may kill somebody by accident. You did not intend to kill the person. But the avenger of blood will not wait to hear how you kill. As far as it's concerned, you have killed, and I have to kill you. So, what he said is that create these cities. If you kill someone and they are running after you to kill you, just run to that city. Once you can cross the border, the avenger, no matter how close he was, once you cross, the law says he cannot touch you again until the matter is judged. That was the law. And you have to remain there. Because the avenger, the thing, see the banner. You'll be walking to and fro, going up and down to see whether God will answer his prayer for you to just step out. You step out, the first thing is even a leg, you go cut and face. If you're able to run back again, you're running back with one leg. That's how backsliding Christians live their lives. And so, praise God. Hallelujah. Now, remember that it is a law. The soul that sinneth shall die. It is a law. The soul that sinneth shall die. A man sinned, and that's why death has been walking in our members. We were separated from God because of sin. And every condition that we are in today, it is because of sin. HIV, incurable sickness, is because of sin. Cancer, because of sin. anything else, frustration is because of sin. There are doors that God opened for so many of us. You know, we are stars. We are born from our mother's womb, stars. Our destiny, stars. But when you come out, sin limits you. It's sin. And we want to be very, very frank and sincere with yourself. Every one of us. You say, but which sin I commit? Since they bore me and I suffer. Yes, it may be through your mother. It may be through your father. It is called hereditary problems. Because through the prophetic gift here, several times God has revealed the cause of a problem of a whole generation. So it is sin. And the soul that sinneth shall die. So once you sin, the law takes effect on you. And so it has reduced man into the condition that we are in today. And the favor of God, the mercy of God, I mean the love of God, we are separated from it, from the Garden of Eden. Separated. And because we are separated, Satan took over and is in full control of mankind. So sin reduces us to what it is today. But God himself made a provision. And it's a permanent provision for our redemption. When I say redemption, the meaning of redemption, you cannot talk of redeem until it belongs to you. To redeem is something that was originally yours, but you lost it for any reason. To have it back to you, the process of having it back to you is called redemption. I've had people use terminologies like, Pastor, I have come to redeem my tithe. Now that is wrong grammar. Amen. That is wrong grammar. I mean, in the present state, if you bring your tithe, maybe it is a goat, an animal, then you bring it, and I've had preachers who say they are teaching prosperity, and where that scripture says that if you will at all redeem of your tithe, that you should add a fifth part thereof, 20%. You add 20%. And so they use it to teach that if you are owing God and you want to pay, that you will pay with interest of 20%. It's wrong. It's not teaching like that. Amen. To even start with, God, they say, don't borrow out money with usury. God, they say, if a brother collect money is owing you, don't tell him to pay with interest. So God will not collect his money from you with interest. It is against his own law. But it is a wrong interpretation of that scripture. If you notice, what that scripture is saying is that you are supposed to give this goat, this number of goats, a particular ram or goat, as your tithe. But for one reason, you want to have it back because it does not belong to you again according to the law. It belongs to God. You are supposed to take it to the temple, to the high priest, and offer it there. But you need it maybe because it's a particular species you want to keep. It is very fertile. You want to use it to multiply more. Then, it says, the law says, you will bring that animal and get the market value. The market value of that animal, if the market value is 1,000 naira, then you will add a fifth part, 200 naira, and take 1,200 naira and pay the price for redemption. You then redeem that goat. It becomes your own. That is the process of redemption. It is yours. But something happened, it has to part. But to have it back, you pay a price. So, why do we call Christ our Redeemer? Because it was, he purchased us with his blood. We belong to God originally in the Garden of Eden. Something happened, he lost us. The process of having us back to himself, which is the redemption process, he had to
pay the price.
And the price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blood, because he said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ is what God uses to atone for us. We are purchased possession of God. The Bible says so. Purchased with the precious blood, the price of our redemption, was what Jesus Christ went on the cross and paid it. That's why he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who am I? Do you know who I am? He is the ransom that God gave for the life of many. He paid that price. You need that knowledge so that you can possess your possession and claim your rights. You no longer belong to Satan. Whatever power he has over you, it was settled on the cross of Calvary. Don't tell me my forefathers buried anything, killed anything, and all of us are suffering. Yes, we were all suffering. But while that sufferer was pursuing me, I ran to the city of refuge. Bah! Oh, glory be to God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Mark 16, he said, go and preach the gospel. Gospel there is good news. What is the good news? The good news is in John chapter 19, before he gave up the ghost, he said something concerning every problem. The problem that reduced man to the captivity of the enemy, the devil, witches and wizards. What did he say on the cross? He said, it is finished. That is the good news. It is finished. That is the good news. Those of you in Europe watching me now, you know the only news you want to hear in Europe as a foreigner that migrated to Europe is the day they will call you, come and take your passport. Mine. The day you receive that passport, you are no more afraid of any policeman on the street. You are no more afraid of anything because all that the citizens of that country are entitled to, you are now entitled to because there is a document, hallelujah, that has granted you that freedom, your passport. And you know what? When you carry an American passport, you are an American. In Nigeria, here, if here, all police, the government official, police, any government official, military, they can't discover that you are an American, you have an American passport. I am telling you, immediately they know, they will begin to beg you. The next thing you see, because they know their rights, America, their rights. The next thing you know, as he's living here, he's going to lay a complaint in the embassy. And before you know what, the ambassador is going to phone the minister for external affairs. The minister for external, because of you alone, America will have problem with Nigeria. Our citizen, you mess up, you will hear Obama say, because of two people anywhere, they will spend $1 billion to go and rescue that person. The whole of America is behind you if you are a citizen. Hey, Christians, the whole of heaven is behind us if we are Christians. Not too many people know that. When the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ, you don't understand that meaning. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. When the Bible says we are in this world but not of this world, you don't understand it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what God did. Using the blood of Jesus Christ, man was reconciled. There's no time to go into too many scriptures. Man was reconciled with their maker. Like the prodigal son. That's what the story of the prodigal son is for. We came back and his wide arms of love received us back. Praise the Lord. But what did he use? He said, go and preach the good news, the gospel, to all nations. Then he added, in Mark 16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Can we read it? Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Please, that gospel is not healing and deliverance. That gospel is not somebody standing and telling you how to become a millionaire, the gospel of prosperity. That is not the gospel. The gospel is, it is the control of Satan over us is finished. The next verse, it says, he that believeth that gospel and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe? What do you believe? I believe I am the reason Jesus went to the cross on Calvary. I believe he went there. But the Bible says he was bruised, Isaiah 53, for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes, I am healed. Healing there is not just sickness and disease, but every aspect of your life that is not normal. It is sick. By his stripes we are healed. You see? You don't understand that every babalawo that will place any curse on anybody for your sake, you go and hire any babalawo, the first thing they do is to demand a blood. The blood of an animal, a goat, whatever it is, they must shed one blood somewhere. They must shed one blood somewhere. I told you one time, the testimony a young girl gave me, you know, that somebody she lived with, a woman, that was like, you know, a very wicked person, and had the son. And then he wanted the son to be a lawyer or so. And the son said he has given his life to Christ. He wants to be a pastor. He was going to school of theology. And the woman persuaded him. He refused that he has a call from God. He wants to go into the ministry instead. And this was the young girl telling me that it was before her presence. That... And she even brought some evidences when she ran away from the house of all the things that the woman was doing. Names and things, all manner of things the woman was doing. She said that this particular woman that she took late in the night, took a fowl, chicken, went to a particular room that she thought that they were all asleep. This girl said she tiptoed to see what thing this one they carry fowl they go do for this night. That she hid somewhere and was watching her. That the woman took the head of the fowl, broke it, tore it with the hand, and blood was dropping in an image that she carved like a human being. And pasted on that image the name of the son. And was laying curse. I say you should be this. You disobey me, your mother. I will show you that this one, it will not be well with you. You'll be walking up and down like a vagabond. You will be doing this, and the blood, they drop on the image, written the name there. She said, when she saw it, she ran by, said she's afraid. She said, as at the time she was telling me, which was according to her, about 10 years after it happened, He said, that man is just roving up and down like a vagabond. She said, she's the only one that knows the secret. Said, the only thing she told the guy, he said, uncle, go for deliverance. Oh. He said, the uncle, he said, come on, he begin to speak in tongues. Sharama, shata, you are not, the person who knows the secret is telling you, go for deliverance. So I said, why you not tell her? He said, it's for her life. Because he may go and confront her, say, the woman will come and kill her. Go. So my emphasis is, why couldn't she lay that curse until she shed that blood? Then you will know why God could not set us free until he shed a blood, a higher blood, on the cross on Calvary. Blood versus blood. Praise the Lord. That is why Revelation chapter 12, can we open it? Verse 10 and verse 11. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Refuge, city of refuge, which accused them before our God day and night. Where is the accuser of our brethren now that the kingdom of our God has come? Where is the accuser of the brethren? He is cast down. He is now under our feet. Satan is under our feet. Every shrine is under our feet. Verse 11. And they, the saints, overcame him, the accuser of the brethren. By what? By what? Say very loud. By the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of our testimony, that is the life that we live, and they love not their lives unto the death. Praise the Lord. So, where is our overcoming power to overcome the devil? Where is it? In the blood. And when you say the blood, you are actually looking at the cross on Calvary. That is where the blood was shed. So that you will now understand why Paul, the apostle, was telling us that when we come to Christ, we have come to Mount Zion. Can we read it? Chapter 22, Hebrew. Chapter 12, I'm sorry. Verse 22. But ye have come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly. See, that is when you come to Christ. I'm talking to Christians. It says, you have come to Mount Zion, and upon Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. If you come to Mount Zion, that means there is deliverance in Christ. Hallelujah. And unto the city of the living God, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. When you are in Christ, untouchable. We are seated with Christ. We are in heavenly places, far beyond principalities and powers. Unreachable, untouchable by the enemy when you are in Christ. For my life, according to Apostle Paul, is hid in Christ, in God. Double protection. Not just in Christ, but in Christ. When Christ collected me in him, then Christ entered God and kept me there. So to get me, you will have to tear God first. Before you now go and tear Christ. If it is possible to tear God, then you may tear Christ and then meet me. You can't get me. I am untouchable. Hallelujah. Let's read on. Verse 22. The year come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And see the next statement. And to an innumerable, uncountable company of angels. Hey. The Bible says that the angels of God encamp round about them that fear God. Oh, no wonder. The Bible says, break the edge. Serpent will bite you. These angels, upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance and holiness. There can never be deliverance when there is no holiness. Because the Bible says, it says, without holiness, no man will see God. You only see demons. Demons. Some of you here, you don't see in your dream. That's also demon, demon, demon. For your vision, that's also demon, demon. All over, all over, all over, all over. Why some of us, all around us, are angels. When we talk like this, we see one light here. When we talk like this, we will see this one. This one. But you, your own, now only demon, 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 demon. Without the holiness. No man. Check it, brother. Check it, check it. Why is the presence of God not around you? Amen. Why are you praying? The Bible says, I think Psalm 103, verse 20. Can we read it? Psalm 103, verse 20. It says, you know, I am reading, I want somebody to be provoked, your faith to be provoked. He said, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. He said, are they not ministering spirits? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth from heaven to minister, to serve, to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? How do they minister for them that are heirs of salvation? They hearken unto the voice of the word of God. That's why he says, John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, and this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Why? Because his angels that excel in strength, that can pull down the strongholds of the enemy, they encamp round about us. When you say what God says concerning any situation, you are giving voice to the word of God. The angels of God will hearken unto it. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is written, no weapon of the enemy fashioned against me shall prosper. And you are going into the camp of the enemy. And you are going to the village for a burial where they are waiting for you to come. And then before you go, you carry the bottle of anointing oil. And then you read that scripture. It is written, no weapon of the enemy fashioned against me shall prosper. I overcome by the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus, speak for me. And then you anoint yourself. That's all. Go and sleep cooler. The angels will be released to follow you to that village. Anywhere you go, they follow you. Anywhere you go, they follow you. Praise the Lord. That's why you hear God say, fear not. Hey, Gehazi, fear not. Elisha is telling Gehazi, they that be for us are more than those soldiers you have seen. And Gehazi, a blind, carnal person that does not know about the word of God, is saying what? And God is saying, Master, you see what I see, so? The Syrian army have surrendered us with nowhere to escape. And you are saying dead that be for us are more than dead. We are dead. We are dead. He said, oh God, how will this man see what thing are they see? Oh. I said, Father, just open his eyes. Somebody here, may God open your eye to see the glory of God around you. There are some of you that have gone to some place for prayer. and the person threw through the sea. When he's sleeping, he said, ah, now me supposed to come meet you for prayer. Here you call, they come meet me. And you don't know he has seen something. And that is all the message you need. You will still sit down there, prophet. You don't know how long I suffer this thing. The man, they look. You they suffer. Oh, my people are destroyed for lack of nothing. Praise the Lord. There are some of you that went to Babalawo. The Babalawo will stand up and warn you. Who bring this one call here? Because just stepping there, the angels that walk with you have destroyed some powers there. He turned around, all the demons ran away. A young girl was telling me, her father was a Babalawo in the center of the compound, a renowned in Taraba State. He said, this young girl gave her life to Christ and was on fire. The man left her, do whatever you like, I don't care. People come to consult him in a small shrine. Then there is a cloth line around near that place. She just washed her cloth and dried them on that cloth line. Throughout that day, the demons that talked to the man did not come. And the man was very worried. These priests are not coming to talk today. Waiting happened. Until one of the demons stood far and told him, you know, see that thing where they put for that cloth line? But you, your own, then go carry and go shrine. He go walk. Can't you see something? Can't you learn something? They carry your shoe, go shrine. He walk. They put down your business. We are that angel that has been camping around about you. He's seen. Isaiah 59. Can we read it? Isaiah 59. Verse 1, 2, 3. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that his ears cannot hear all the fasting and the prayer you have been doing. This is the reason, verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear, because he's a holy God. His eye cannot behold iniquity. So he said, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this sin. He said, the Lord knoweth them that are his own. He said, and let them that name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. If not, you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. In the name of Jesus, the demon will say, which Jesus? If you call Jesus, he answer. Me too, I will call Jesus. Answer. That sin separates me from him. You'll be sinner. That Jesus cannot come for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 23, Hebrews chapter 12. When you come to Christ, you have come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. And firstborn children are special children before God, before every father, which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Verse 24, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. When you are in Christ, that is the assurance. If you don't have this scripture underlined in your Bible, then I don't know which scriptures become meaningful to you. My own was underlined since 1990. 1 year after I gave my life to Christ, I saw it. Got to know my position in Christ, that I'm not an ordinary person. And they say, which, if you give money, you give your money out to we, they go carry and go do something. I say, except na 419 money. Except na cocaine money. Because I have a reference in the Bible. Apostle Paul did not pray over handkerchief. Oh, Father, use this handkerchief and heal. You meet Apostle Paul, he has no time to follow you to go and pray for somebody. The handkerchief that he has been wiping his face, he carry, just place this handkerchief on him. And then demons will scream and go. Then from that same pocket now, I will bring money to dash one poor man in the village. Then he will say, hey, I go use the tie in finance. You will tie yourself. You will. The Babalawo will not forgive you for bringing that money to his shrine. Oh, yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want somebody to receive lasting deliverance today. So we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He that believeth, you believe what he did, and all these things we are saying. You believe it? Yes. You believe the company of angels around you as a believer? Yes. You believe what he did on the cross on Calvary? Yes. He said, he not stop there. You must be baptized. He that believeth and is together, and is baptized shall be saved. Now, you deliverance minister, you tell me now how you are conducting deliverance for somebody that has not baptized. So how will that person receive deliverance? They are doing it purposely so that you continue to be coming to them. They know what they are doing. It's there in the Bible. He that believeth, and then you told them, oh, you stand if you believe. Say after me, you believe. Oh, my. Now you're born again. Now you're born again. Okay. Now, you go for deliverance class. Go for deliverance. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be. And he that believeth not. And if you don't believe, why are you coming to church? Why are you calling on the name of Jesus? Praise the Lord. Why? Because God's provision to show evidence, to declare publicly before your situation, before heaven and the earth, before all those demons around you, that you have come to the city of refuge, that you have come to Christ, is to identify with his death, his burial, and resurrection. And once you do that through water baptism, by immersion, that water covers you after you have repented. You are buried there with Christ. The third day he resurrected you too, you come out of that water. Once you have done that, every sin you have ever committed till that day that gives that demon, that shrine, that deity, that witch, whoever it is, power over you is remitted. And you stand before God as if you have never sinned before, because you are now washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. So, whatever Satan, the power he has, take note, I am speaking grammar and English. I didn't say that you will not be attacked again. I didn't say that the demon will not pursue you again. I didn't say untimely death will not come again. I didn't say so. But I say the power that it has over you is broken. If the power is broken, now you can cast him out. It is now, after water baptism, you can now go for your deliverance. You are now invoking your right now as that person in that European country, America, that has their passport. Now you have your passport. Now you can open a bank account. Now you can do anything you want to do. You can go in and come out at any time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can now enforce your rights. If they mess up with you, you can now take your lawyer. He said they will surely gather. But because the gathering is not by him, what will happen? Why? Because we have an advocate. Jesus Christ is our lawyer. 1 John chapter 2 says so. He is our advocate. And the interesting thing about this spiritual court is that that same advocate, Jesus, is also the judge. He's also the judge. And don't let Satan remind you of any abomination you've done before you gave your life to Christ. Amen. Don't let him remind you of the abortions you have committed. Don't let him, the 419 you have done. You did all that in ignorance because you did not know. You didn't even do it by your power. There's a spirit that was responsible for it. Yes. The witchcraft you have done before. Yes. The armed robbery you have committed before. Yes. All the stealing you have done before. But now that you have repented and you have gone to that water baptism to identify with what happened on the cross on Calvary, even God will not remember that again. That power, Satan cannot come and use it as a reason to deal with you again. So where are they? They are underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. A far removed as darkness is from the dark. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my Caesar Lord. They ask me why I'm happy, so I don't tell them why. Because
Caesar God,
my Caesar God.
When I meet
the scoffer who asks me where they are, I say, my sins are gone.
Where are they?
They are under the blood, on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is from down
in the sea.
In the sea of God, forgetfulness has stood alone for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Hallelujah. He said, whatever a man sow, that will he reap. And somebody will tell you, you never get picking. You are paying for the sins that you have committed. You are paying for your sins. You are paying for your sins. I hear that Savior say, thy strength in me is strong. Child of weakness, what I'm praying. Oh, he paid it all. I don't owe anything. To him I go. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain. He was as white as snow. At the cross, where I was saw the light. And the bodies of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Oh, at the cross. At the confession of a believer. And the bodies of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith
I received my sight.
Oh,
and now I am happy all the day.
There is not a friend like the Lord
in Jesus.
No, not one. No, not one. None else can heal. Hallelujah.
Jesus knows all about our struggles.
Oh,
He will guide till the day is done. Yes, Lord, I pray like a lonely desire. No, not one.
Oh, yes.
No, not one.
I need no other.
All on the ground is sinking down.